Marxism. Concept of the middle way is a foundational principle taught by Siddhartha Gautama, who is the Buddha. The middle way represents a path of moderation between the two extremes of indulgence or hedonism and asceticism, which is the extreme practice of going without or deprivation. So what does that even mean? How does it apply to you and to your life, if it even does at all? That's what we'll figure out today. Welcome to the Sunday service. Siddhartha, the Buddha's father, King Suddhodana, had shielded him from the harsh realities of life outside of the palace. The whole idea was, we want to help our prince to become a great king, a great leader. However, Siddhartha's curiosity about the outside world eventually led him to undertake several journeys or excursions outside of the palace walls. He was curious, what's going on out there? What's going on in the world outside of my perfect reality inside the walls? So at about the age of 29, Siddhartha began to go out and explore. And on those excursions, he encountered what is today known as four sites. And those sites were, number one, an old man. Siddhartha encountered an elderly person, which made him realize the inevitability of aging, made him realize the finite or fleeting nature of both youth and beauty. Second sight was that of a sick person. When he was inside the palace, rarely ever did he come into contact with people that weren't doing great. When he was outside, he saw someone suffering from illness, and that made him confront the reality of human suffering and the fragility of the human body. And just again, how fleeting being healthy and strong is. The third sight was that of a corpse. Siddhartha encountered a dead body, leading him to spend a lot of time contemplating the universality of death and the very impermanence of life itself. And then finally, the fourth was a wandering ascetic. Finally, Siddhartha encountered this person who had renounced all worldly attachments, and he did that in search of spiritual truth. And when he saw this person, it inspired him to go out and embark on his own spiritual journey. So those four sights deeply moved him to, he became resolved and committed to figuring out, is it possible to overcome all the suffering that appears to be inherent in life? And it moved him to the point where he actually renounced being a prince. So he set that aside and began a life as a wandering ascetic, so pursuing asceticism. And what he was looking for was enlightenment. He was looking for freedom from the cycle of birth, death, and rebirth. And in Buddhism, that term today is known as samsara. So in service of trying to figure this out, because it's not necessarily clear when you're going on a journey like this, how am I going to figure this out? Is it even possible to figure this out? Is there more to this? And he had made the decision that, yeah, I believe that there is a lot more to life than what I had in my very, very comfortable, normal existence, living as a prince inside this palace, sheltered from the realities, the cruelty, the fleeting nature, the pain of suffering that is 100% part of the human experience. So he joined a group of ascetics and engaged in severe austerity measures, subjecting himself to extreme forms of self-denial and deprivation. And I'll tell you a little bit more about what he actually did. But his motivation for practicing these extreme things was from his belief that by undergoing intense, extreme physical hardship, it could transcend the limitations of the actual physical body and attain some form or level of spiritual liberation. And he believed that extreme practices would help him to overcome his desires, his attachments, which at this point he was identifying as the root causes of suffering. So why is it that, why is it that I'm suffering? Why is it that I feel sadness and pain and regret and loss? And he was feeling like it was due to attachment to worldly possessions. So he thought, if I get rid of these, maybe that'll bring me to the place that I want to be. So during this time, he took on these extreme practices, fasting to the point of death, enduring exposure to horrible, harsh weather conditions, as well as just intense meditation for really, really, really extended periods of time. So things that you and I probably couldn't get our brains around. Perhaps the closest person that is in popular culture, for lack of a better term, is David Goggins. If you're not familiar with David, he is a person that puts his body through the most challenging things that he can think and figure out. And there's a handful of other people that are like that. But it was in service of trying to figure out, how do I rise above these things? So, but despite his dedication to those practices, he didn't find what he was looking for. He didn't find the spiritual liberation that he thought that he would. Instead, what he found was profound physical weakness, exhaustion, and it almost killed him. So he figured out that the extreme asceticism didn't get him closer to enlightenment at all. It just hurt his body. And it was more distracting from his pursuit of deeper understanding and deeper truths. So he was going in the wrong direction. So he came to the place where he came from the place of, for lack of a better term, extreme privilege, went all the way to the other side of the spectrum on extreme physical hardship and denial of comfort and the pursuit of pain, really what asceticism is. And now he found himself still with no answers. So he came to the realization that the path that he was looking for, the path to what is known as enlightenment, was not in the extreme self-mortification, not in privilege and luxury, but in a more balanced and more moderate approach, which is known as the middle way. So that is what he decided he would focus on. And his experience, certainly, I think it benefited, both of them did. He found great benefit in the life he had up until the age of 29, and then had the experiences with the group of aesthetics. So the middle way, it's really about finding balance and harmony with all aspects of life, as many as we possibly can find. It encourages people to avoid excessive indulgence. It's like hedonism, just giving myself everything that I want when I feel like doing something, when I pursue all my desires. When I feel like it, I pull the thread and I see where it lead. But he discovered that that leads to attachment and cravings for more. But he also said and figured out that the extreme self-denial and extreme mortification leads to physical and mental harm. So the middle way is that balanced approach. And some hallmarks are mindfulness, ethical conduct, mental cultivation, the encouragement of moderating your desires and your pleasures, as well as a compassionate and understanding attitude towards ourselves and towards others. So in essence, the middle way teaches that true happiness and liberation, it comes from transcending that duality of pleasure and pain, of gain and loss, and finding a balanced and mindful way of navigating the complexities of existence. We've always known life is hard. It's really difficult. We're constantly dealing with so much and pulled in so many different directions. We are slave to so many different masters. And like the Buddha, when we can look inside for answers, when we can try to find that path of moderation, not too hot, not too cold, that's where we're going to find success. And what the Buddha found out or figured out was that he's pursuing the path of enlightenment. And that led him to these profound realizations. And it all culminated for him in his awakening under the Bodhi tree in India. And that event marked the beginning of his teaching career as the Buddha, or the Awakened One. The middle way. So much to be learned, so much benefit to be had by finding your just right. And of course, we all remember the story of Goldilocks and the three bears, where Goldilocks was wandering through the forest and came upon a little house, and it was where these three bears lived. There was a great big bear, a medium-sized bear, and a little bear. And at first in the kitchen, she found three bowls of porridge. She was hungry. So the first one was too hot. Next one was too cold. The third one was just right. And then she went upstairs because after you eat, you're kind of tired. And there were three beds, one for the huge bear, one for the middle-sized bear, one for the little bear. And she's a small person. So the small bed was just right for her. So that's really the moral of that story is, and what the middle way is in a very clumsy way teaching us, that too hot is not good. Too cold is not good. Just right is, in fact, just right. So I think that we are looking for, at least I am looking for, consistency in my life. I'm looking for repeatability. I'm looking for sustainability. When you run too hot, you run too cold, you're going to stop doing it, whatever it is. If, and it's anything in our lives. And I think it's worth examining all the important areas to find our just right. The foods we're putting in our mouth. So what's our diet? How are we feeding our bodies? If all I do is just eat rice cakes all day and that's it, I'm going to get sick of that. But if I'm eating pizza and ice cream for every meal, well, that's also not good. And it's true of our exercise routines. If I all of a sudden go from not exercising to try to copy David Goggins, I'm not going to have a very, very, not going to have a good result. And if I never get my butt off the couch and I don't exercise my body, I'm not going to have a good result either. So I need to find what's going to fit. What's going to be just right? What's going to be consistent? What can I be consistent at? What can I repeatedly do so that this activity, which is of value to me, is sustainable in my life? Same thing is true of money. If you just save and save and save and never spend at all, well, you're not going to enjoy money. If you spend and spend and spend and never save, well, you're not going to be financially successful. And when you get a little bit older, that older version of you is going to be pretty upset that the current version didn't put any money aside for the long term. And it's certainly true of our relationships and of the way that we entertain ourselves. It's true of everything. Too much, not enough. These are both not good. We want to find our just right. We want to pursue the middle way. So finding your just right, I think it really demands that you first determine what matters. What matters to you? What is of value to you? Just because the Buddha discovered certain things for himself doesn't mean it's right for you. Just because Goldilocks likes things lukewarm doesn't mean it's right for you. Maybe you want a really big bed. Maybe you want a bunk bed. Maybe you're going to sleep on the floor. Maybe you want to sleep in a hammock. I don't know. But for whatever matters in your life, things that are truly important, we need to make the determination and consider, is this the path for me? Is this the path for me? Where is just right? What's actually going to fit? What's going to get me closer to the life that I really want? So I think that it means creating habits and routines around doing what matters. That's the sustainability part, because I could certainly do most anything for short durations, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to yo-yo my way through life with a diet, be 5 pounds overweight and then 10 pounds overweight and then really skinny and then put the weight back on. I don't want to be broke and then in debt and then out of debt. That's exhausting. It's not going to make me happy. It's going to cause more suffering than if I could just be consistent with this. And that's where habits, that's where routines come in. So understanding what matters to me and then creating habits and routines around doing those things that matter. I think that that's a big unlock. I think that that's a human superpower. As always, do your part by doing your best.